Good evening. Tonight, we're continuing in our Ask the Preacher series. I better keep this up here because I'm going to be using this quite a bit tonight. The question is an interesting one, and one that I think is an important question, one that I've been asked multiple times and have had some discussions over the years about it. And the question is also one that I think would be is perhaps very personal to many people. And so I'm going to be very sensitive to that and try to just give some biblical clarity on the issue and see if we can walk away with some biblical principles to guide us in our decision making and the ways that we view certain things in the world. So the question is cremation biblical as an end of life decision? From very limited research, I found that somewhere between 60 and 65% of people between 2024 and 2025 were cremated. And they're projecting that that number will be much higher by 2045. Perhaps as much as 80% of people will be cremated by the year 2045. And the reasons for this are primarily just cost associated. Things are expensive. Everything in the world is expensive, and things keep getting more expensive. And so there is this financial strain that is placed on people in this time of loss and when they're trying to make decisions. Some, of course, pre-plan it, but some, you know, death comes upon them very quickly. They don't know what to do. One of my friends recently died suddenly, a young man, and his wife was overwhelmed with the costs of the funeral. She was able to raise some funds and be able to have a traditional burial, but that was because so many donated to this. It's very expensive, so you can understand why someone would make this decision. A lot of these questions that I am getting, get the question? It's like, okay, is it biblical? What does that mean? What are we really asking in that? Because if we're looking for a Bible verse to say you should or you shouldn't, and for it to be as simple as that, as with so many things, it isn't that way. There are guiding principles that I believe are at play. And as with so many decisions and so many questions that we ask, there may not be an exact, precise, cut-and-dry answer like we would like. The Bible does say some things about it. And I'll just tell you up front that the Bible, in its presentation of this issue, the brunt of the passages speaking to death deal with burial. This being the traditional mode amongst the people of God forever. Now, I also want to say up front that the issue here is not one of salvation. And I think that a lot of times this is how we make our decisions. We simply ask, is my salvation in jeopardy if I do it this way versus this way? And while I think that's an important way to make decisions, that's not the only thing to consider. So I want to say up front, this is not an issue of salvation. This is also not an issue of division, as in you have those that are convicted this way because there are some that are theologically convicted this way and some that are theologically convicted this way, and yet our unity and our oneness in Jesus Christ that's not a matter that we should be divided on. And so I also want to say that up front. And then I want to say one other thing up front, that this is not a question of the power of God as it concerns the resurrection. Some really do have some consternation related to what's going to happen if my body perhaps was cremated and scattered to the four seas, or maybe thrown up into the wind and then blown across the, you know, West Texas or something like that. Is that going to put in jeopardy? Well, I will quell any lack of assurance there by saying that the God who can go down and gather up literal dust off the ground that was not the original, original materials that made up that human body, he is certainly and absolutely able to go down and gather up whatever dust, whatever particles, whatever it is, and bring it back and form it back into a body. So this is not a question of that. Again, let me very sensitively say again, I do believe that the Bible seems to prefer burial, and I'll show you sort of at the end of the lesson why, but let me show you. Again, my purpose here is not to come up and state what I think, my opinion, one way or the other. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to say, because the question is asked, the only thing I can do as a faithful representative of what's here is say, let me show you what's here, and then we make our decisions based off of that. Again, it's not an issue of division, it's not an issue of salvation, and it is not an issue of the power of God. That doesn't mean that there aren't some other things to consider. So let me show you some of this, being very mindful that this is not the decision that many have made. And but let's just go to the text and see what it says. Let me say this. Until the 19th century, which is, the 1800s, it was almost unheard of. Cremation as a practice amongst Christians was almost unheard of. This is just a fact. Let me read to you a couple of statements from, these are just two, in my library I have probably 1,700 books, and a lot of these are electronic. But in the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary on cremation, it says this: in ancient Israel, death by burning was reserved as a punishment for the worst of criminals. And there's some scriptures associated with that. In the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, again, these are just facts, and then we're going to take those facts and make some decisions biblically by thinking through them in our context today. The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, it says, disposal of the dead that cremation is the disposal of the dead by reducing the body to ashes. The practice was not common in primitive times, but in the ancient civilized world, it was the normal custom, except in Egypt, Judea, and China. Belief in the resurrection of the body made cremation repugnant to the early Christians, whose use of burial is attested by the evidence of the catacombs at Rome. Again, these are just historical statements of fact. There are many such statements as this. Francis Schaeffer, who is one that I've mentioned many times and who is very impactful on me, one of the things that he said, and this was not, this is something I just read recently, but he said that you can actually discover the spread of Christianity across various parts of the ancient world by the arrival of cemeteries. Cemetery, it comes from the Greek word komatoria. What does coma sound like? Komatoria, cemetery, literally means a sleeping place. And so this was something that Christians for a long time were interested in, and when Christians came into places, what they did was burial. Now, just as a precursor for the end of the lesson, the reason why is because the Christians were looking to that particular witness of, here's this body, here it lies, and yet they were saying, this will not remain there because there will be a resurrection. This is what imaging was going into that. This is what they're thinking about. One story that I read of a preacher as he was laying someone in the ground, and this is a long time ago, he said, you are standing on resurrection ground. And was, again, it was bearing witness to this fact of the resurrection. So let me read some passages. You can join me and see these things for yourselves. Genesis chapter 23, beginning in verse 4. Genesis 23, beginning in verse 4. He says, I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And this was to bury Abraham's wife, Sarah. Going on, look at verse 19. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Go to Genesis chapter 49. So Abraham was there, and then if you go to Genesis chapter 49, you'll see something else that is related to Jacob. Genesis 49, 29 through 31, he commanded them, and he said, this is Israel, this is Jacob speaking, and he said, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. And when Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So he's simply saying, bring me to this place. I want to be in this place where those who went before me are lying. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So he's in Egypt, and he's saying, don't keep me here. Bring me out of Egypt. Gather me to my people. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So you have there Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob saying, please, you know, bury me in this particular place. Of course, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12, John chapter 19, verses 38 and following, Acts chapter 8 and verse 2, you see this being just the standard mode is burial. The standard mode for, again, this is not something for that was the standard mode for everybody in the world, but it was the standard mode for Jews and eventually for Christians. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 22. Hebrews 11, if I can get here. In verse 22, this is the faith chapter. Notice this, by faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So, by faith, he's saying, take my bones and put them here. Now, what is their faith in? That's the question. What was the faith? What was the issue of faith here? And I believe in the context of Hebrews, the faith was the resurrection. This is where their faith was. In verse 19, notice, just before this, this is Abraham. Verse 19, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, was believing that God would be able to raise him from the dead. Now, in that context, when Joseph's saying, by faith, do this, he's having some mind that's looking forward to something significant about his earthly body. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. One of the other questions that was asked in this series was related to the resurrection, and was there a theology of resurrection amongst the Old Testament Jews, or was this something that was just came into view once Christ came? And the fact is, yes, there was a belief in the resurrection. Very early on, David, when he was king, he said regarding his son, who had died, he said, "He can't come to me again, but I will go to him." Looking forward to a future day when there would be a reuniting. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, Daniel is prophesying about the future resurrection, and he's saying there will be a resurrection. This is Daniel, 600 years before Christ, speaking with confidence of the resurrection. So yes, there absolutely was a faith and a belief in resurrection. Now, as I said, and you can go through the Bible, there's a bunch more verses. Burial is just the standard mode. But when it comes to, in their frame of thinking, how they viewed cremation, it's just the opposite. So let's look at a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 2. Let's go there. 1 Kings 13 and verse 2. So a man of God, this prophet, was confronting Jeroboam, one of the leaders of the rebellion, and Jeroboam was standing by this altar to make offerings. These were not to God. And in verse 2, it says, "The man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you.'" And you see that played out in 2 Kings 23, verses 15 through 20, that this actually happened. Notice this is speaking in this context. This is being spoken of as a curse, because they're looking forward to this future day. These who have desecrated the altar, and he's saying that they would desecrate their bodies on that altar. As I said, 2 Kings 23 is where you see the rest of that story. Amos chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's go there. Amos 2 and verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four I will not revoke the punishment, because he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom." Now, a little bit of context here. What God is indicting is the fact that he took the body of this man and intentionally was trying to desecrate it. He was trying to curse this person. This was not a decision that was made in the best interests. Another story, when Miranda and I, several years ago, we were over in Israel and we went to one of the cities in the Decapolis, which is this 10-city area. One of them is Beth Shan. I know some of y'all have been to Israel. This is a very historic place. This is where Saul and his sons, after a battle, were actually taken and they were hung up on the wall. And the men of that area went and took them off of the wall, and they went and burned their bodies. And the reason why they did it was so that they would not be further desecrated and maligned by the people who had put them up for public display. So there you see the opposite. The same decision made for the opposite reasons. In Amos, he had taken this man and desecrated him to desecrate him. It was to be a curse. And then in the story of Saul and his sons, they were taken and they were cremated, essentially, for a different reason. It was actually to honor them and to not allow them to be desecrated any further. So you can see the same decision being made for a different reason there. In the book of Genesis and the book of Joshua and the book of Leviticus. So Genesis 38, 24, Joshua 7, verses 15 and verse 25, and Leviticus 20, verse 14, and Leviticus 21 and verse 9. I'm not going to read all of them because I don't want to spend all of the time this evening. But you can look these things up. Genesis 38, 24, Joshua 7, 15 and 25, Leviticus 20 and verse 14, Leviticus 21 and verse 9. There in the law of God, you have God promising as a punishment for certain persons that they wouldn't be buried, but that they would be burned instead. And so this is there in the law. You can go read those passages for yourself. So you can imagine why Christians have historically shunned cremation and have embraced burial. Imagine saying that in 2026. Again, this is just a fact. This and the reason why, and let me tell you why I believe that Christians have always done this, and what I really believe the issue is here. Because I started off by saying I don't believe that this is an issue of salvation. I don't believe that this is an issue of law. The Bible does not tell us which way to do it. That's not the question. There are situations and circumstances where the most prudent and perhaps the only viable decision is going to be cremation. This is going to be a deeply personal decision that each person is going to make. God, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 13, let's just read that, and this speaks to the power that that we esteem and our great hope. Revelation 20 and verse 13, this is the very end of time. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Notice that the sea gave up the dead. Did you know that we have many fallen men who were laid to rest at sea, or ships were sunk, giant ocean vessels were sunk, giant tankers were sunk, military personnel were buried at sea. There are some that in World War II and World War I, they, because of the horrors of war, their bodies were perhaps blown up by a bomb, and there was nothing to bury. Some of them were burned in major piles because the amassing of the people was so great. You look at that and you think, some of these are awful images. God is not a God who's bound or confined by what happened to our body in this life. What I think that the issue is, this is the point that I want you to think about. It's not an issue of can I or can't I. I think that the issue comes down to are we, in whatever decision that we're making, considering and giving a view to the eternal life and the resurrection that this person has ahead? It might bear out in a different decision between each person. The Christians forever, that was their thinking, was I'm putting this body in here, like Lazarus. We're putting his body in here, and then Jesus was able to come to that spot and raise him up. And there was a place to go. There was a cemetery. There was a spot. Same thing with Jesus when he was buried. Same thing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob when they were buried. They were thinking forward to a future day. I don't think that the issue of the substance of our body is even a question. God is going to gather up from the whole world, whatever particles was our body, and resurrect us in the final day. That nothing that happens to our body after we leave, in fact, every one of us will become dust again. Cremation is perhaps a speeding up of it, but in the right at the very beginning of time, when God made Adam from dust, what did God say to Adam after he ate of that tree? He said, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." Oftentimes, at you know, when we're burying somebody, we take a little bit of dust or a little bit of dirt, and we say, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust," and throw some down into the grave, and we recognize this person's body over the long years ahead will turn to dust again. Everybody's will. It's not a question of that. I think the question is, in whatever decision that we make, are we looking forward to the future bodily resurrection, or have we perhaps in some respect bought into the notion that the body itself is a disposable thing and that the body itself is not going to be a part of our existence for eternity, which the Bible contests that. It would contest that kind of thinking. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks plainly to this. John chapter 5, 28 through 29, John chapter 11 and verse 25, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 speaks plainly to God taking our body and transforming it and making it holy and making it glorious. So whatever decision that we make, we must simply just know in faith. If you choose to cremate, don't do so because you think the body's a disposable thing, doesn't matter. When we die, we're going to our eternal place anyways. In reality, when we die, we're actually not going to the place that we're going to be forever. We're going to a intermediate place, right? We're going to that waiting place until the final resurrection. And so I think that that's the issue. The issue is that of what is in our thinking, what is in our psyche. And no matter what happens with your loved one after this life, just know God's going to transform them one day. That's the resurrection. That's our hope. That's what we believe in. That's what we stand on, is that whatever happens to their body, that's not the final say for it. God is going to raise them up at the final hour. And again, I hope y'all can see, when y'all gave these questions to me, I said, I will answer whatever questions come, wants to answer it as biblically as possible. I wrestle with these things myself. I have many loved ones. They've made a decision this way or this way. I'm not going to interfere with that. You make the decision that you have to make. What I do think that we need to be mindful of constantly is that God does have plans for our bodies eternally. And eternally, we will live in a resurrected body, and that is our great hope. I'm also thankful for our unity. And I'm thankful that it is not built on the infinite complexities of decisions that we make in this life. Aren't the decisions in this life difficult? Yes. We come to Scripture, we look, we make the best decisions we can. God's going to cover everything beyond that. If you have any need at all, if you wish to give your life to Jesus, we believe we have the greatest hope in all the world. If you wish to come and be immersed and buried with Christ now, so that one day you can be raised with Christ in eternity, you can let that confession be known. If you need anything, we welcome you to come down while we stand and while we sing.